Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, it's Vlad Harris here. Let me tell you something about my bookie. They've been in business for years. They have great reviews online. Their mobile site is easy to use. I'd recommend this to you because you know what? You got the tournament coming up tonight. It's concluding. You got the NHL NBA playoffs coming up. And you got the Masters coming up. So you play, you win, you get paid. If you join now, my book, you match your deposit dollar for dollar. Just enter the promo code ARMCHAIR25 to activate it. Visit today, man, and get paid. And if you create your account with that promo code, you can claim up to $1,000 in free play. So check it out, you guys. Go to my bookie. It's MYBOOKIE. Welcome in. It's another Panther Rants podcast. And yes, Pitt is bringing sexy back. As of yesterday, they brought back the old Keller scheme. The one we've always loved and the one we never hated. Welcome in, you guys. Vlad Harris here again. And yes, yesterday was the reveal. And it was a pretty sexy reveal. I mean, it's hard to rank all these jerseys because they're all great. I mean, you got football, basketball, your obvious ones. They look awesome. The Olympic ones look really good. I mean, you got the wrestling ones look awesome. I doubt I'll ever wear one piece. You know, if I did, I probably would throw that on. I mean, that looks pretty hot. And soccer ones look really good. The track ones look awesome. They all look good. I mean, I can see myself wearing a Pitt soccer, you know, a Pitt soccer shirt. You know, I can go to the soccer pub that's down the street for me and act like, you know, I know what I'm talking about. But it was nice to see you guys sharing your pictures of all the swag you were buying. The hats look nice. I may end up buying a hat again. I haven't bought a hat. I don't think I've worn a hat in about five or six years. My last hat was a Yankee hat, and that's all I ever wore. It was always good luck for me, but after I crossed over 30 with kids, I decided it was time to retire from wearing hats and sports jerseys. Although some of you guys do that, but I'd rather go for the old dad look, where I'm wearing a sports polo and maybe some khaki shorts with a belt buckle, and maybe some white tennis shoes. Yeah. And I need the Oakleys. I gotta have the Oakleys. And if I'm wearing a hat, maybe something, you know, that's kind of like a denim type of hat. I don't know. Oh, a visor. Definitely gonna need a visor because I gotta have the dad look. You know, where I look like I have to go pick up my kids after the football game at some birthday party or whatnot. But Heather even said herself that there's no going back to the old Kellers. This is it. And, you know, I had a buddy who over a decade ago, he went to Pitt. I guess he had a fans for script type of web page, and he has some momentum. And I think he even met with the someone from the AD about the whole branding. And basically, it was like talking to a robot. It was pointless for him, and he got mad and transferred out of Pitt. Not too long after that, but I think it wasn't so much because of the you know, the whole jersey, you know, the whole color scheme thing. But at the time we were still, we just got back to Pitt because we went from Pitt to Pittsburgh and back to Pitt thanks to Dave Wonstadt. But yesterday was a good day, and hey, keep Heather like here for life. Now we do have the spring game come up on Saturday. And I just put it back on again. And there it goes again. I got a new laptop back in December and around the holidays. And you know what? I'm really not liking these new touchpads. Maybe because I'm old school, but it's you know, remember the IBM laptops where you had the touchpad? Well, you had that one little button you used for your cursor. Remember, you moved around and like you had the two buttons. But below you had the actual touchpad, but it had two buttons below for the left and right click. Now they make the touchpads now where it's one big touchpad and you everything is done with clicking and whatnot. And it's, I hate to say this, but it's a pain in the ass. I wish IBM would stop trying to be like Apple all the freaking time. You know. Just stop. All right, enough of the techie crap. As you know, Pitt has their spring game coming up. And one thing we have to talk about here is, well, we'll talk more in depth about this on probably on either Thursday or after the spring game, but a lot of stuff that's up for grabs here. For one thing, the running back position is up for grabs because you lost your two top players to graduation. Quadri Olson and Darren Hall are gone. And, you know, you also have the receiver position as well that's still up for grabs because hasn't really been a clear-cut favorite for receivers. I mean, Maurice French is obviously going to have the number one spot because of what he did last year, but it's because of two things. One, we really didn't have much of a passing game because the quarterback play wasn't all that good, and two, the play calling wasn't good. But our other guy I should mention is, well, Taysier Mack. So I'm really, you know, so for wide receiver number three or whatnot, this position is up for grabs. And, you know, last year we had some transfers with receivers just because a lot of our starters were out due to injury, I remember, for that spring game. And the passing game was lethargic because nobody really stepped up in that, you know, in that instance. You know. I think we should have realized then that the passing game was going to be very problematic then, and we really didn't. Because of what happened in the Miami game where it looked so good, and then the spring game it just looked really bad. But you got Taysier Mack coming back, you got Maurice French, so you got your two receivers right there off the bat. You know, one guy we lost was Arujo Lopes, and he was pretty good. It's just we didn't get the ball enough. And if we did, it was these stupid short passes. I mean, Taysom Mack's obviously your deep threat, but we still got Aaron Matthews. And we got Shockey Jockey. We got those two guys. And I'm sure, you know, hopefully we've got some more guys stepping up. And obviously we need some sort of help at the tight end position as well. So I'm not sure how they're going to shore that up. But, you know, off the bat, there you go. There's, you know, some areas, you know, we have to look at. The passing game, I definitely think we should look at still with the quarterbacks. I know we have Kenny Pickett, but with Kenny Pickett, we don't know what we have yet. And I think we have to see how he's developed so far with this new offense and probably keep an eye on some other guys as well. In terms of defense, I mean, obviously Dwayne Hendricks is a big loss. But, you know, I think it's, you know, Elijah Zeiss. But I think, you know, overall, I mean, we're going to have a good defensive unit coming back. And after what the progress we saw last year, I'm pretty optimistic about it. Who wouldn't be? Okay, moving on to some other stuff. We had some, you know, some stuff on the Friday news dump that, you know, maybe contradicted what I had on the podcast for Thursday. Of course, I talked about why Jamie Dixon, the UCLA, made sense. And of course, he's an F. And what I mentioned was, of course, if the ink, when the ink dries. And of course, the ink never dried in this case because there was never anything going on with it. Because Nearsock had come to a buyout agreement. TCU was going to stand by the whole $8 million. And UCLA wasn't willing to pay $8 million to bring Jamie Dixon to California. And obviously, Jamie was involved in this. And obviously, this is pretty awkward for him because now he has to go back to TCU and stay there. And this is not the first time this happened with TCU. Back in the early 90s, Pat Sullivan was the football coach at TCU. He took them to their first Southwest Conference title in the early 90s for the first time in like decades. He tried to go to UCLA. Or I'm sorry, LSU, I'm sorry. He was going to go to, he wanted the LSU job. And LSU would not pay his buyout from TCU. And guess how much that buyout was? $400,000. So LSU could not buy out Pat Sullivan for $400,000. Think about that. In 2019, because this was like 1991, 1992, I believe. Now that's nothing. Yeah, I believe it was early 90s. It was early to mid-90s. But think about that. A $400,000 buyout that LSU could not pay. That's nothing now. But as soon as this was released, on the same, not too long after that, TCU, I guess, released the announcement that Jamie Dixon was staying at TCU. And according to the AD, Jamie met with him at his house that the night before Friday and said he was staying at TCU. I'm not really sure what to think of this. Really, it doesn't really matter anymore because he's not going to be the coach. But if I had to take a lucky guess, Jamie probably realized that this wasn't going to happen. Because if they didn't agree to it, then and there, they weren't ever going to agree with it. He probably realized, you know what? I'm just going to stay where I'm at because it's better for PR. Or maybe the AD told him that night that, hey, we're not going to come to agreement on your terms. So this is what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to tell him that you want to stay here. And that's that. We'll do damage control. But still, the fact that he was interested in and it couldn't come to buyout, for Jamie, it's bad because, like with Pat Sullivan, when he went back to TCU, it hurt his recruiting because, well, they're not sure if he's going to stay now. And I'm sure it was used against him in recruiting as well. But I think in Jamie's case, he wasn't going to leave TCU at all. But if UCLA did call, this is probably the only job he'd leave them for. So I'm sure you hope that TCU and their fans and recruits and whatnot, players, understand that. Because people can be real petty at times. But now they've moved on to Rick Barnes. And Barnes is older and his buyout's made like a few million dollars cheaper, but not much. I'm not really what to say about Rick Barnes. they had Steve Alford, and Alford took him to the tournament, four of his 6 years there. And of course, last year they ended up in the first four. But with Lonzo Ball, they ended up in the Sweet 16. They won 31 games. For some reason, UCLA just isn't happy with them. But I think really they want to be able to compete. They want to get to the tournament consistently, and not have these down years. Because I think it's really what gets them is they had Ben Hellen got them to the Final Four, and then they had a bunch of down years after that, and where they thought that Hellen was building something, rebuilding again, and he just never came to fruition. Now they end up with this and. I don't know where they go from here. I mean, I don't think they're ever going to get back to the the finals. They will. I mean, with the right hire, they will. But they should look at Kentucky right now. I mean, Calipari's landed a whole bunch of recruits, and well, look at him. I mean, he's won a championship with those guys, but not on a consistent basis. I mean, he's gone a bunch of Elite Eights, but you can have all the talent in the world on one roster, but that doesn't mean you're actually going to win the title. But oh well. Yeah. Tough call. Tough scene. Anyways, we got the Final Four that happened on Saturday, and we had two really good games. We had UVA, and we had Auburn, and we had Michigan State, and we had Texas Tech. UVA and Auburn was an awesome game. Those guys barely broke 60. But it was great. It was just really good defensive battle. I mean, what was great about Auburn was their guards struggled, but their bigs really stepped up. And once again, for the second game in a row, you had UVA snatching victory from the jaws of defeat. And I just don't understand why their player Jerome, they were up 10 points at that point. I think maybe Auburn just cut the double digits. He makes a dumb foul, and he gets his fourth foul, and he's on the bench. And it was a really horribly dumb foul. And I just don't understand why he made that, because there was plenty of time on the clock, and in a 6-10 point lead with like 4 minutes left, that's nothing in the NCAA tournament. I mean, that's like the equivalent of 10 minutes left still. And what you saw there was you saw Auburn only come back, but they took the lead. So I'm not sure what the line of thinking was on that. But, of course, Auburn fouled a three-point shooter with 1.5 seconds left, and that was it. And the guy made all three of those free throws. I figured he'd make at least two or three, but he made all of them. And that's the biggest pressure cooker there. I think really in the end what happened was Auburn fouled with 1.5 seconds left, and I have no idea why. I know they had a foul to give, and that's why, but at that point, UVA was about to throw a desperation heave, and by the time that heave would have hit that backboard, the game would have been over. But they fouled anyway, and it just was bad luck. I mean, people were going to talk about the double dribble, but there was also a foul before the double dribble as well that they could have called, and they didn't. So I think at the end of the day, the refs would have loved to have called the double dribble, but I think they were more focused on the final sequences of the game, and they weren't really tuned in to counting dribbles. I think they were worried about fouls more than anything, fouls more than dribbles. But the second game, Michigan State and Texas Tech was a snoozer for the most part. Second half of that was towards the end, but Cassius Winston, second half I was like, there's a lot of call crowds I've seen Cassius Winston, and I mean the street ball element for one thing, but it's a good thing.
Carl Krause would play street ball, and it would either make or break pit. Sometimes it was fun to watch, and he would do big things. Other times he would really screw us over with the street ball, where it would just go really bad for us. In this case, it went really bad for Michigan State. And on top of that, their bigs weren't as assertive as I thought they would be. And Texas Tech kind of dictated the game for most of it. And now, not to mention they made some big shots because their star player struggled, but the other guy stepped up. And, well, that's why they're in the tournament. And they're playing for a championship tonight. So as far as the game goes, all I can say is it's going to be an awesome one. I like UVA to win this one. And people are saying it's going to be a low-scoring game. But I think it may be a high-scoring game. I mean, it just depends on how Vegas goes. I mean, have fun, make some bets. And if you do, go to MyBookie. And if you do, they'll match your deposit. Use the promo code ARMCHAIR25. And you play, you win, they'll pay you. So check it out, you guys. So if you're gambling tonight, check out my bookie, MYBOOKIE. But other than tonight's game, which I think it'll be, it's crazy how Vegas can be. So I'm not sure what the over-under of the game is. But, you know, some people say it's going to be a very low-scoring game. It could be a high-scoring one. It just depends on which team shows up. And, you know, the world of gambling works in different ways. Where you think it's going to be a low-scoring game, and all of a sudden these guys, they go crazy and they start nailing shots. So I like UVA tonight. I think they'll close it out. But I wouldn't be surprised if Texas Tech wins as well, because they're just a hot team right now. And if you look at who they've beaten, I mean, Mark Few, Tom Izzo, John Boeheim, I mean, they've done really well for themselves. So you can't go wrong with either one. And you could say that the Big 12 is probably due for a title, because the last team to win one was Kansas, and that was in 08 with Bill Self. So you can probably say the Big 12 is due for a championship. Why not? But as far as the rest of the stuff going on, I mean, you got some more Steelers drama still, and those guys are always going to fight on Twitter, and that's just how it is. And I'm not really, you know, focused on that too much. I mean, that's just going to be the way it always is with those guys. I mean, until they step on the football field. And, of course, I'm looking on Twitter now, and I see Jose Canseco is fighting with Chase Bank, and I have no idea why. And, you know, the Bust the Locker podcast, you know, check those guys out as well. I think it's just one guy. But he's talking about the most annoying things that happens during sporting events. And for me, it was always for Steeler games when in the middle of a play, you'd have a guy trying to make his way to the freaking, you know, to his seats. And, of course, obstructing your view. And, of course, you have to stand up. You have to obstruct everybody else's view. But as, you know, as far as that, there's not much else going on sports-wise, you know, today. Oh, of course, we had the Pirates bench clearing brawl from yesterday, and, you know, that's how what always happens when you admire your home runs. You're going to get either you're going to get hit the next at bat, or somebody's going to either next guy's going to get it, or you're going to get your next at bat. That's the way it's always been with these unwritten rules, and it just is what it is. It's just a thing. But anyways, guys, I got nothing else to talk about today, so I'm going to let you have the rest of your Monday. Have a fun one. Hail to Pitt. Bye.